Dear friends, let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only message of hope and of blessing to needy sinners. We praise Thee that in this message the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. We are made to see His loving kindness to us, though rebel sinners, and so determined in our rebellion against Thee, if Thou art willing to draw us by almighty power through the Gospel to Thyself, all the glory to Thee, O Lord, Thou art able to save needy sinners. Lord, we ask that Thou would have mercy upon us. As we come to listen to this Gospel again, touch our hearts, each one of us, that if we have not come to find rest and reconciliation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may do so now. Grant the grace of repentance. Grant that we fear to stand away from Thee. Without Thee, without Thy help, without Thy blessing, to live godless lives and to die godless people. Oh, have mercy upon us and move us to seek Thee earnestly and come to Thee. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our dear Saviour, and for His sake. Amen. Now, friends, we want to think this morning from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1 and verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we are thinking within this short time about the wrath of God. The wrath of God, what a solemn theme to consider. And yet it is a theme that comes up very many times in the scriptures. In this passage, the apostle indicates very clearly that there is a present ongoing wrath of God towards men. And other part of scripture I would make reference to, I may not read the text themselves, but make reference to tell us that the wrath also is something to come. Now, the two together give us a clearer picture. The wrath of God is a present reality as well as a coming reality, a future reality. Now, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul has exalted the gospel. The gospel is the message of the mercy of God. It's called the good news because it is the announcement of mercy to rebel worms, to sinners who have no other hope but have turned away from God. This is the only hope. This is the only message of reconciliation, that God, through Christ, invites sinners to Himself, and that by faith alone, as we put our trust entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in what He did for needy sinners, so that our hearts are stripped of all trust, of all confidence, of all hope, and our entire hopes are resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into spiritual life and find our hearts renewed by the grace of God. And so that is the message. And the Apostle Paul says that it is so powerful and it works blessings everywhere he goes. Wherever, among men of all state, of all nationality, of all groups, the same gospel works same wonders, turning sinners to saints and turning rebels to those who submit to the rule gladly of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people turn away from pride and all manner of self-confidence and trust in themselves and trust in their own capabilities and accomplishments and things like this to have their hopes only in the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel works everywhere, the same wonders. Now, but the apostle tells us something is going on in the world. Now, where the gospel is rejected, or where the gospel is not yet believed, there is wrath of God revealed. Wrath of God occurring even now among men and women who have not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us that if we do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God rests upon us. It is a present reality. It abides on us, John chapter 3. We are told of this. And so the apostle touches on this too. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Actually, it has to be revealed because sometimes a number of things that actually indicate the wrath of God may appear very normal to our very carnal eyes and to our very sin-loving hearts, because some of the manifestations of the wrath of God in this chapter may actually appear very normal. Because you would realize that some of them, even a present society, calls it normal. So that, for example, when the Lord has deserted people so the foolishness sounds wisdom in their ears, the Lord tells us that, well, they rejoiced in that. They were fools, and yet they thought themselves wise, you see. And so it's revealed from heaven, showing it has to be shown us from above. God has to show us indicators of his wrath, even the very obvious ones, which would tell people that this is the wrath of God. Sometimes they still try to ignore it and underestimate it. Well, the present wrath of God is often treated that way. But of course, there will be that future one, which without question, everybody who ever comes under it will know for sure that they are suffering the wrath, the righteous wrath of God. But now the wrath of God is revealed in that it is God himself has shown it to us, and that from his word. And for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God works against all. Here you have a kind of a definition. What is the wrath of God? It is God's detestation, God's total hatred against all ungodliness. God has shown from heaven by giving forth his revelation that he hates all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. And this ungodliness and unrighteousness of men leads them to do something else, to hold the truth in unrighteousness, to hold hold down the truth. That's what it means. They despise it, they suppress the truth. The truth that's obvious to them, that will show them their need and their case, they deliberately push it aside and ignore it. Because we are so determined to go on in our sins. And as a result, there's a wrath of God revealed. There's a wrath of God ever hanging upon our heads so that we will surely suffer from it. Let me just mention a number of descriptions the Bible adds to this wrath of God so that we appreciate its solemnity and seriousness perhaps a little more, so that we are not one of those who suppress this truth, even about the righteousness of God, about the wrath of God itself. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, all manner of ungodliness. Some people think that God may be angry with only perhaps homosexuals and murderers and all the rest of it. Yes, God is surely angry. But if you go through the kind of things that Apostle Paul mentions here, you will realize it's not them alone. Or liars, or pride, or self-confidence, or dependence on things instead of upon God. These things are all detestable, detested by Almighty God, and they stir his wrath because it is all ungodliness. Every act that is against his mind, every act that is against his purposes and plans. And so you would see from verse 29 down, he speaks of a whole number of things. All of them, God is against it. And so don't think that it's the so-called extreme sins alone that brings down the wrath of God. It's every unrighteousness and every ungodliness. And so the wrath of God is sometimes described as fierce. Fierce, the Hebrew means it is burning. It burns in that it as it were burns in the bosom of God. God, when he sees the detestable things, must out of holiness react to it. And so it is fierce. It burns against the perpetrators, those who commit the crimes and the sins. It is fierce in that it burns. It is also said that it can be kindled. We are told like that in Psalm 2. it may be kindled. It tells us that something must trigger it. God does not just sit down and angry, but it is because something has happened. Something must trigger it. And when God sees the human pride and unbelief and the materialism and the lies and uncleanness, these things kindle in the heart of God the wrath that we speak of. It is also pictured as if it is poured down. So in the book of Revelation chapter 15, it is portrayed as the wrath being contained in golden veils, golden containers ready to be poured down on earth. That is speaking about future wrath, but there's an ongoing wrath, as I've mentioned already. So this wrath of God is poured out, the Bible tells us in Psalm 79, for example. The wrath of God is poured out so that it shall not be quenched. It's poured out at Sasifa, something of a burning metal is poured out to upon wicked men and women. And so, and then because it is poured out, the Bible pictures it as being drunk by those whom God so pours this wrath upon. It is the wrath of the Almighty God. They shall drink of this wine of the wrath of God. We are told of this in the book of Revelation. This wine, it is said, it has no mixture. It is full of God's indignation, God's wrath. There's a time when it shall be so pure and perfect. Nay, his wrath every time is pure and perfect. But what we mean is this: now his wrath is often mingled with mercy, but a day is coming when this wrath will be entirely wrath and nothing else mixed up with it. And so it is like a wine, we are told, and it is mixed. It has no mixture, but poured raw and full upon those who turn against God and rebel against him. I mentioned to you that this wrath of God is a present reality. So the Apostle Paul spoke of the people of Israel, that the wrath of God is come upon them to the uttermost. Israel, when God turned his back on them, so the hardness possessed them, and they will no longer listen to God, and rather they will persecute the disciples of the Lord. The apostle says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the wrath is come upon them. It's come upon the people of Israel in that they are now shut out from the light of salvation and of the mercy of God. Now, the wrath, we are told also, as I said, there's such a thing as the day of God's wrath. A day of God's wrath, a day, the great day of the wrath of the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is described as a lamb, very strange in the description. We don't often think of a lamb being angry. We may think of a very wild animal, a lion, something like that, going angry. But for a lamb to go angry, well, that's the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 6, where we are told of the wrath of the Lamb. The day his wrath will come, and there's a great day for it, a day set when that wrath will be poured. And so you see, the wrath of God is an ongoing reality in the world. It works among the sons of disobedience. If I'm one of those who have not come to seek the Lord and to repent, there's wrath upon me already. Wrath at work in my life. It was ignited by my sin, by my pride, by my lies, by my disobedience and unbelief, or anything else that is against the mind of God. It awakened that, and it ever continues all the days of my life. It pursues me. But in this side of the world, in this world, God mixes it with a measure of mercy. And so that we do not only know wrath, this is why you are likely to ignore it. And this is dangerous, because you would just think more of the mercy of God and ignore the fact that you are sinning against him. And therefore, overlook the fact that because I'm sinning against God, I am under his wrath. And so this is a dangerous state to fall into. But in the present time, there's a wrath of God over all acts of disobedience. And there is a day set when there will be such fullness of wrath poured, because that wrath will be God's final outrage God's final reaction against sin, when he must judge sin and send men to the place of everlasting destruction forevermore. For friends, it may surprise you, my dear friends, but you know, the wrath of God is a glorious perfection in him. It is never a defect. If you think it is a defect, well, you'll be wrong. Wrath in us, you and I, may be very defective because it may lead to all kinds of undesirable things and sins, but not in Almighty God. In Almighty God, wrath is a glorious perfection. And in fact, it's even a source of encouragement. And I will mention that very soon. It is a source of encouragement to you. If you want to flee from the wrath to come, wrath itself offers a kind of encouragement. And I will touch on that even more shortly. Why is the wrath of God a beautiful, glorious perfection, a wonderful, admirable attribute? Why is the wrath of God not something to be regretted over? No, it is a wonderful attribute because in God, wrath is not a kind of an uncontrollable passion that simply gets out of hand but does things and then regrets it. No, the wrath of God is pure and deliberate. It is entirely decided against a response, a genuine, determined response against all sin and against whatever is against the will of God and the truth of God. And so it is beautiful in that it is absolutely under control and absolutely used by God, an attribute manifested entirely according to his own purpose, just as he manifests, make plain any other of his attributes, any other of his characteristics. And then also, this is why it is a glorious attribute in God, because wrath is intended to really show men and women the sinfulness of sin. Sin is a dreadful thing, dear friends. None of us, it doesn't matter, friends, how much we have read the scripture, we have to confess that our sense of the sinfulness of sin is always so low. Perhaps the reason why you have not turned to the Lord is because you think that sin is a light thing. But you see, wrath is intended to jolt you. The wrath of God works like pain. They tell us that pain is a blessing in our system. If there's no pain, we would eventually ruin ourselves. So that, for example, if I put my hands into fire and there's no pain, my brain doesn't register the pain so that I quickly pull out my hand, then of course I will burn my entire hand off. And so the pain actually jolts me so that I move away my hand. There are some illnesses which are the earlier symptoms or some severe pains, which if it is overlooked, something serious follows. And those who know their symptoms, the very moment they see the pain, realize that something serious is going to happen, and then they go for their medication and they are saved. Now the wrath of God works something like that. It is a jolter of men. Look at what the wrath of God can do. If the God of love, if the God of immense patience must suddenly come down upon his creation and the work of his own hands and so destroy and cast off forever, it should tell us that there's something bad, something terribly wrong in sin which is bringing this about. And so you see, the wrath of God is intended to really jolt us to see the seriousness of sin. Again also, friends, this is another encouragement, my dear friends. The wrath of God portrayed to us the fact that God is able to deal with all wrongs. Friends, think of society. Think of Africa, Ghana perhaps. Think of what happens in our country, where we are constantly worried, and this is true everywhere in the world, even though with a varying degree. Go anywhere in the world, and people are complaining of the fact that there are some people who seem to be untouchable. They can commit crime, they can do whatever they want in the country, and yet nobody will be able to deal with them. Because somehow they are members of the government of the day, and they wield some influence or things like this, and no one can deal with their wrongs. And so much of the society's troubles come from this point that there's always a lack of dealing with that which we all know to be wrong and not right. And yet we cannot deal with it, or we don't want to deal with it for fear that we may come across as against some favorable or a popular person and things like this. Oh, but friends, the wrath of God means this, that God is able. He is able that whatever sin, he will touch it, whoever he may be, that whatever that sin may be, and whoever had committed that sin, God, Almighty God, will not let him go. He will come, and he will deal with us with such a one. Friends, it should fill us with some comfort to realize that there is someone. There is the Almighty God who will be able to right our wrongs and to call every single person to answer and to give an account of what they've done, and even now to touch their lives without their permission. He has access to every life, and by wrath he can so deal with these persons according to his will. And so the wrath of God fills us with confidence that though in this present world evil and wickedness seems to prosper, it shall not be so forever. It shall not be, because Almighty God in wrath against such things will act and will move and manifest his majesty and power against such. So, my dear friends, you see, and so the wrath of God actually is a beautiful thing, that it is able to deal with sin. My dear friends, I mentioned about present wrath and ongoing wrath and the future wrath. Can't you see once again that the wrath of God is actually a manifestation that is so helpful to us, that God, when he manifests a measure of wrath now, and we would take heed, we would be attentive and take warning, it will move us away from sin. Like what I mentioned earlier, the example with our pain that I mentioned, the wrath of God is in measures. You see, God is such a glorious God, such a kind God, that his wrath never comes out at once all in full. Everybody in life experiences a measure of the wrath of God while we live away from him. Friend, this is why it is so important to know that whenever you sin, please don't deceive yourself. Whatever you know you've committed as sin, I plead with you, don't let any circumstances lie to you that perhaps it is nothing. I told that lie. I insulted that person. I am dependent upon things, and I love material things and don't care about trusting God, and yet life seems to be prospering all right, and you seem content with that, my dear friends. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. God has shown this from heaven in his word to teach you and I that the very moment you sinned, you have kindled a wrath in his heart, and that will come upon you. Even though mercy for now make things so smooth for you now, don't make the mistake of thinking that God hasn't seen or God doesn't care. As some people were saying in Psalm 94, does God care? And he has not seen. Can he know? They were asking. Be careful, my dear friends. Be careful. Because you see, in the kindness of God, there's a measure of wrath now, so that it will, as we see, if you would understand, I'll mention some of them. The chapter mentioned it to us. A number of things God manifests now, which are indications of his wrath. These things would jolt me to be afraid of a greater future wrath. So you see, wrath contains within itself kindness, at least present wrath. The final wrath will have no kindness at all in it. So present wrath has some kindness in it. So that, for example, the Bible tells us that when I am becoming more experienced in sin, it is a sign of God's wrath. God is giving me over. If I sin now and my conscience never troubles me, I am a liar. I speak against people, and I backbite against people, and I yield to carnal feelings and desires, and I bear bitterness and hatred in my heart, and I'm the kind of person who is never a grateful person toward God. I despise God. I don't want to depend upon Him. I want to depend on my accomplishment. I want to depend upon money, and all these things. While I depend upon them, seem to become all the more secure and all the more firmer, so that I seem to have a very good day instead. What the Bible says, be afraid, because this is one of the examples of God's initial wrath in yielding you over to the things that enslave you, the things that take you away to make you a servant of them and to be in their grips so that you will not see. Oh, now that we are telling you this, watch, my dear friends, are you going on in disobedience and things seem to be working well still? Be alarmed, and say, well, I dare not overlook my sin. I must go to the Lord and find mercy with Him. My dear friends, there's something that is beautiful in the wrath of God also. My dear, think of it this way. If God did not hate sin, then you see, His love cannot be really pure. If we can think that that which is beautiful in God, His love, His kindness, yet He does not have a wrath that hates the opposite of all this, then we should be suspicious that probably at a point that kindness may fail, that love may become wicked. And so necessarily, a pure love must have a hatred, intense hatred, for anything that is against love. A pure kindness must necessarily be against, have something within it against that which is not pure kindness. You see, my dear friends, and so it is. So the perfection of God, when we're speaking of God's perfections, we must bear in mind that wrath portrayed to us, they are full beauty. They are perfection. They are the fact that they can never be spoiled, because God in holiness hates and is angry at the opposite of it. And so, friend, this is the encouragement. It is the encouragement that, therefore, if I go to God and if I seek Him, if I come to seek mercy at His hand, I can truly and thoroughly be blessed. I can truly be thoroughly be dealt with if I come to Him with my sins, because He hates it and is angry against it. He will rise against it and truly conquer it in my heart and grant me blessing. You see, if it must fill us with confidence, because you are sure that He will deal with it. Now, permit me to use this illustration. We are in a time of a global pandemic. There's this coronavirus everywhere. Supposing you knew a doctor, a physician, whom you could know from every indication that he hates this virus. He hates it. And you are to be sent to him. Supposing, well, I wish all of us well, but supposing we should contract this illness, and we know that this man is against it entirely with all his being. He would do whatever he will, whatever he's worth, against the virus. Then we can be confident that if I have caught the virus and I'm taking to him, I'm absolutely sure that the man would do his very maximum. He would not leave any stone unturned in order to deal with the virus, isn't it? My dear, for the problem is that you will not find consolation and joy in the wrath of God if you love sin. If you want to continue in sin, if you want to hold down some lusts, some self-dependence, some independence, and rule over your own heart, somehow you wish to be your own master and live and react and respond to things as you want and not come under the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless there's a love of sin in your soul. Otherwise, my dear friends, you will see in the wrath of God something so beautiful, something encouraging. You say, if I take my sins to Him, He will surely wrestle with us. He doesn't need to wrestle with it, friends. By only a word of His, He's able to forewash and cleanse and renew me. Oh, but friends, just to be able to appreciate the point, I say, whatever strong the lust are, whatever powerful the sin, if I go to the Savior and ask Him to forgive me and wash me, He hates sin. He's angry at sin so much that He will so act against it, wash it, remove its power, and set me free and bless me. Oh, friends, do we have love of sin in our hearts? We will miss this beauty and blessing in the wrath of God, and we will avail ourselves only to the punishment that the holy wrath of God must bring down upon our heads. The wrath of God, you know, reveals a beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ also. This is why it is a glorious perfection in God, because when we look at the wrath of God, and we see that the wrath came upon the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. As I mentioned, we see that sin is truly serious, but not only that, we look at the Savior Himself and we admire Him. Can He bear such wrath? Can He bear such wine of the wrath of the Father without mixture on behalf of His people? And it was not entirely destroyed there. On the cross He was deformed beyond all description, yet He bore it successfully in our behalf. We see what a glorious Savior He is. We see what a mighty Savior He is. He's surely able to save to the uttermost those who come to Him. He only, it actually singles Him out, does it not? That He only can be the Savior of the world. He only could drink that cup. Remember, He told the disciples, the cup that my Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it? He will drink the cup of the wrath, and He will drink it fully, so that any needy sinner who comes to God, though a sinner, though in the very grips of my lust and foolishness, yet if I long to be saved, and the love of sin is gone, and I want to be made a new person, this is the Savior alone who can bless and who can change and deal kindly with me. Friend, the wrath of God is not a negative theme at all. Surely it has its bitter, solemn negative aspect, but such a beautiful aspect too. Friends, we see the glory of the Savior in the wrath of God. Can He take wrath away from us? So the wrath hanging upon me is taken away, and I am made a child of God, so that God looks upon me with favor. And all this because the Savior bore the punishment. Friends, come to Him. Life is no life without Him. You are living under the wrath of God only. Yes, now a mixture of some mercy, but you are living nevertheless under the wrath of God, unless you flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee from the wrath to come, says the Scripture. Go to the Savior, ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to banish the love of sin from your heart. Then you will truly believe that He who hates sin and is angry against it will heal it and remove it from the heart of anyone who truly comes to Him. Do so quickly. Don't delay, dear friends. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, every attribute of thine is beautiful and glorious and wonderful. Give us grace to appreciate it, every one of us. O Lord, deal with the love of sin in the hearts of those who do not know thee and have not sought thee, that they will be drawn in encouragement to come to thee and to seek pardon in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Lord, teach us thy fear, that we come to thee quickly to find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us and hear us, for we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and for his sake. Amen. Friends, let's reflect on a hymn that touches on the wrath of God. Hymn number 100, it comes down to touch upon the grace of God, but the thought of God's power to destroy is here also. Hymn number 100. Before Jehovah's awesome throne, ye nations bow with sacred joy. Know that the Lord is God alone. He can create and he destroy.